Public policy polling based out of Raleigh just did a couple of surveys of voters nationwide, what they think about the Super Bowl, pro football in general, and where things stand in the Republican and Democratic presidential races. Joining us now to talk about all of that is Tom Jensen, the director of public policy polling. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So let's start with the Super Bowl. It's coming up quick. Where do Americans stand? Who are we rooting for?
Well, America's split right down the middle. We find that 40% of football fans across the country are rooting for the Panthers and 40% are rooting for the Broncos. And what's kind of interesting within those numbers is you see some of the same sort of divides about who people are rooting for in the football game that you see when it comes to politics. For instance, we found that among white people, the Broncos are favored 46-34. But among non-white people, the Panthers are favored 53-26. We found that among seniors, the Broncos are favored 55-28. But among voters under 45, the Panthers are preferred 46-31. So it's sort of like the Broncos are the team of choice for your sort of more traditional Republican-leaning demographics, and the Panthers are the team of choice for your sort of more traditional Democratic-leaning demographics.
And I know Cam Newton's been in the media and talked about, is that divide a reaction to Cam Newton, or is it something else?
I think it definitely does have a lot to do with Cam Newton. One thing on this poll that was particularly fascinating was we found that Cam Newton's favorability rating with white football fans across the country is 46 favorable, 23% unfavorable, which isn't bad. But then you look at non-white football fans, 81% favorable, only 1% unfavorable. So just a massive racial divide in terms of opinions about Cam Newton. And what was interesting was you look at Peyton Manning, the Broncos quarterback, and then look at Cam Newton among Republicans. Peyton Manning has a 79-12 favorability rating with Republicans. Cam Newton only has a 48-24 favorability rating with Republicans. So I do think that a lot of these sort of divides we're seeing certainly have to do with the faces of the respective franchises.
Interesting. We're speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, publicpolicypolling.com, the website, if you want to check out more numbers from the Super Bowl survey. Who are the most popular players in the NFL and who's the most popular team?
Well, it was sort of funny. We did a poll on who people's favorite quarterback in the NFL is and who their least favorite quarterback in the NFL is. And we found that Tom Brady won both of those honors. 23% say he's their favorite quarterback, to 16% for Peyton Manning, 13% for Aaron Rodgers, and 11% for Cam Newton. So nice to have 23% say he's their favorite quarterback, but then when we asked who's their least favorite quarterback, he has 29% support for that. So even more people saying that Brady's their least favorite than their favorite. So that certainly shows what a lightning rod he is. And we also asked the same sort of question, favorite and least favorite team. Probably the more interesting finding there is the least favorite team. Every time we've ever done this in the past, the Dallas Cowboys won least favorite team honors. But this year they got beat out on that front by the New England Patriots, got 23% for least favorite team. The Cowboys dropped down to second at 20%. So it looks like Deflategate, even if it didn't have too much impact on the Patriots franchise on the field, it was enough, that perception of cheating, to get them up to least favorite team honors when it comes to public opinion.
Well, Bill Belichick saw he was in second place there and had to do whatever it took to win, right?
Yeah, well, I'm sure something new will happen.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, Super Bowl coming up in just a couple days. Carolina fans, North Carolina sports fans, obviously, presumably leaning towards Carolina for that one, but the nation pretty evenly divided between the Panthers and the Broncos. How about the New Hampshire primary, actually just the presidential race coming out of Iowa? I know Public Policy Polling just did a national poll and some pretty big movement on the Republican side.
Yeah, we find that it's a much closer race nationally than it was before Iowa. I think losing Iowa really took some of the wind out of Donald Trump's sails. He's still leading nationally, but he only has a four-point lead. He's at 25% to 21% each for Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. And sort of looking at what the trend line is for each of those folks, Trump support is down 9 points from where it was before Christmas. So he's definitely seen a fair number of people jump ship since losing Iowa. Rubio is the candidate, even though he finished third in Iowa, who has the real momentum. His support's up 8 points from where it was before Christmas. And then the other thing that's kind of interesting is Ted Cruz, even after winning Iowa, actually didn't get that big of a bump from it. He's up 3 points nationally, but definitely nowhere near as big of a increase as Rubio got in his numbers. And one thing that we really made a point of looking at on this poll that's going to be important moving forward, when we talked last week, there were 12 candidates in the Republican race. Now there's only nine. When we talk next week, I think there's a pretty good chance after New Hampshire that we're going to be down to only five or six Republican candidates in the race. So it's important to look at what the field looks like once it gets smaller. And what we find is that the smaller the field gets, the better of a position Marco Rubio's in. In a three-candidate field with just Cruz and Trump, he leads with 34%, Trump gets 33%, and Cruz is at 25%. And I think eventually we're going to see this race turn into a one-on-one contest. And what we found is that in a head-to-head, Rubio leads Trump 52-40, and in a head-to-head, he leads Cruz 46-40. So as this field gets smaller, I think Marco Rubio increasingly moves toward front-runner status.
Do you see that changing at all with the, depending on the outcome of the New Hampshire primary? I know Trump's still leading in the polls there, at least.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in New Hampshire on Tuesday night. We haven't polled on it, and the polls are sort of all over the place. There's polls with Trump leading from anywhere from just 10 points all the way up to leading by like 20 or 25 points. So it'll be interesting to see if he actually does match his poll numbers in New Hampshire in a way that he didn't in Iowa. It was clear from the entrance polls in Iowa that the networks conducted that a lot of people changed their mind in the last 4 or 5 days of the campaign there in Iowa, and the people who changed their mind did not decide at the last minute to vote for Donald Trump. If you were somebody who changed your mind, it was deciding to vote for Rubio or deciding to vote for Cruz in the closing stretch instead of Trump. So if Trump really wins New Hampshire by 15 or 20 points, like some of these polls are saying, then maybe he'll sort of get the win back into his sails and be in a good position moving forward. But if he actually ends up only winning New Hampshire by a few points, or it's unlikely at this point, but you know, it's always possible that he could actually lose New Hampshire because it seems like Rubio has the momentum and he doesn't. I don't think he can afford another loss. And I think if he only ends up winning by 5 or 6 points when it's been perceived that he's going to win by 15 or 20 points, that's going to be a little bit of a blow. If Donald Trump beats Marco Rubio by 5 points, 30 to 25 on Tuesday night or something like that, Rubio's going to be declared the winner by the press, even if he didn't actually get the most votes, because he will have exceeded expectations so much. So it'll be very interesting to see how that all shakes out.
And sort of a similar story with Iowa on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton narrowly winning, but a better showing, I think, for Bernie Sanders having been trailing. So where do things stand on the Democratic side heading into New Hampshire?
Well, the Democratic polls in New Hampshire have had Bernie Sanders with a very substantial lead, as much as 20, 30 points in some polls. What's interesting is one poll came out today from the Boston Globe, though, with Bernie Sanders only leading Hillary Clinton by 9 points. And sort of in that expectations game, if Hillary Clinton ends up only losing New Hampshire by single digits, 5, 9 points, somewhere in that range, that's sort of going to be viewed as a victory for her, because the expectations for Sanders have gotten raised so high that he needs to not only win New Hampshire to meet expectations, he has to win New Hampshire by a pretty substantial margin. So it's just the one poll that came out and showed it in single digits, but it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. On our Democratic National poll this week, we still found that Hillary Clinton has a pretty significant advantage, 21 points. She's at 53%. Bernie's at 32%. And the real key reason that Clinton continues to have that 21-point national lead is that she's up 82-8 with African-American voters. And after the race leaves New Hampshire, you head to Nevada, where about 20% of the Democratic electorate will be black. You head to South Carolina, where 55% of the Democratic electorate will be black. And then you have Super Tuesday, which features a lot of southern states, where you're going to have 40, 50, 60% of the electorate's black. Her huge advantage with that demographic makes her really the favorite moving forward after Iowa and New Hampshire, regardless of what ends up happening on Tuesday night.
Publicpolicypolling.com is the website. Go there and check out more numbers from the national survey of the presidential race as well as the Super Bowl survey, just a couple days away from the Super Bowl, a few days away from New Hampshire. Tom Jensen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.